We're going to talk about a subject tonight that, if it isn't, it should be near and dear to every one of us. It's a serious subject, and for the most part, I'm going to let God talk to us. And I've titled it Damaging Words. That can go any number of different directions. Damaging words come in many different fashions, sizes, shapes. They include lies. They include anger, angry words, insulting words, verbal abuse, yelling at someone, intimidation, name calling, making fun of someone, show of power, bullying, a show of pride, backbiting. All those words are familiar, right? Somewhere along the line, I would say that if not all of us, most of us have dealt with some of that. And then, of course, there's one other, and that's what I want to talk about tonight, and that's gossip. It's a word that we toss around. I think sometimes we don't take it seriously, but it's a sin. And it's a sin that it's easy to get involved with. It's easy to do. You know, there's a saying that you need to put your mind in gear before you let the clutch out and let your tongue waggle. So we need to stop and think sometimes before we let these words come out of our mouth about what we're saying and how we're saying it. Almost everyone has experienced the harm of gossip. I don't think there's too many people that are foreign to that concept. Whether the people talking didn't mean direct harm or not, the result of gossip is almost always broken trust and hurt feelings. Gossip can be defined as information about the behavior or personal life of other people. That often comes without full truth being revealed or known. That's where gossip starts. We don't know the full thing. We just want to draw a conclusion and be a judge. God's word warns us to stay away from people who gossip and to guard our words when we speak about others. Scripture also uses the word slander. It's kind of a parallel or many times even the same thing as gossip, which means making a false spoken statement damaging to a person's reputation. And you stop and think about gossip, you stop and think about slander, these other things that I've laid out, it can destroy someone's reputation. It can go as far as to destroy a marriage. Well, if there's rumors spread around about one of the spouses having an adulterous affair, and it's not true. It can cause job problems. It can cause wealth problems. And some of us have probably been here. It can cause family problems. The tongue has power, and we have to be careful about how we choose our words and how we say them. I'm going to start in Proverbs tonight. And again, I'm going to expound a little bit on this, but this is God talking to us. Proverbs 10:18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. Most of us who have studied God's word and studied the Bible to any extent at all knows that the word fool is a very harsh word in God's word. And it says here that if you're hiding hatred, whoever hides that hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Something that shouldn't be done. Spreading slander, according to Scripture, is foolish. Proverbs 16. Verse 28. Those of you that are on Facebook with me will know that this verse gets put out every once in a while. It's one of my favorite verses to try to teach with. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A perverse man sows strife. Someone that doesn't care about what's going on, someone that wants to cause trouble, will sow strife. And then the whisperer, the one spreading the gossip or doing the slanderous kind of talk, the whisperer separates the best of friends. You remember back in your junior high days and your high school days and the whispering going on amongst friends, and pretty soon your best friend doesn't want any more to do with you. What happened? Today's terminology, they just ghost you. Probably something was spread around that wasn't true. But they believed it. And that's what a whisperer do. Paul tells us in all of his letters, be careful of whisperers. Be careful of the words they spread around about false prophecies and things that go against God's word. That whisperer that Paul's talking about also applies in our daily lives. We have to be very careful. And it's so easy, and I catch myself in it, it's so easy to listen to gossip. We just find ourselves, human nature lets us want to know what's going on, even though it may be gossip, it may not be true. Perverse man sows strife, a whisperer separates the best of friends. Proverbs 26. Going along the same line here. 20 through 22. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. So what does that mean? That means if you don't stoke the fire, it dies. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. So if there's nobody spreading stuff around, if there's no whisperers, there's no talebearers, what happens to the strife? It goes away. Or it wouldn't have been started to start with. He goes on in verse 21, it says, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Try to barbecue a steak on the grill if you don't have a gas grill to light, or you don't have charcoal to light. Nothing happens, does it? You don't have a furnace in your home, and you're out on the farm in western Nebraska in the middle of the winter, and all you got's a fireplace. If you don't have any wood, nothing happens. So as charcoal is to burning coals and wood is to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. If the contentious man isn't there, nothing happens. And in verse 22, comes back into this talebearer thing. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. They can get to you. I don't know anybody who hardly doesn't like a chocolate bar. That's a tasty trifle. That's what a talebearer is. And then he finishes that up and he said, and they, the words of the talebearer, go down into the inmost body. For some reason, when strife and slander and gossip and lies and all this stuff is spread, for some reason people tend to believe it, even though it's not true. And they tend not to go to the person or people that's being talked about or spread about and find out. You always want to know what's going on, go talk to the horse. They know. But if that contentious person isn't around, there's no strife. 2 Corinthians. Let's go to Romans first. Romans chapter 1. Paul wrote this book to the church in Rome. A lot of information in this book. In chapter 1, starting in verse 28, he talks about this. And he said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. That's the choice we talk about all the time. God gives us a choice what we want to get involved with. Do we want to get involved with slander? Do we want to get involved with gossip and all these other things? You have that choice. Just know that it's not according to God's word. And it says here, he gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fulfilling. Being filled with all unrighteousness, this is what he turned them over to. That's what they wanted. Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. That goes along with this slander and gossip. Murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. And then what's the last thing he says here in verse 29? They are whisperers. That's the problem. And he goes on in verse 30, he calls them backbiters. He calls them haters of God. They're violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. What does that mean? Might not be even be true. They've just invented it. Disobedient to parents. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Now he said, and here's, he finishes this up. He said, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that's the people he's talking about, they're doing all this even though they know what the righteous judgment of God is, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. That's a sinful death, spiritual death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So whisperers, talebearers, gossip spreaders, all these people, they love it when they got other people that'll do it with them. Stoke the fire. Backbiters, haters of God, it all comes from whispers, according to what Paul's telling in the book of Romans. And he's telling them, you already know what is righteous, and yet you've turned your mind over to unrighteous things, and it's going to lead to death. There is no heaven. I think the last sermon I brought, we talked about having a choice. And there's only two choices of eternal life. One's heaven and one's hell. I had a very dear friend of mine one time, an older lady in the church, tell me, and she made the statement, and I don't disagree with her. I don't know if it's actually 100% true or not, but I don't disagree with her. And she said, gossip and talebearing is going to keep more people out of heaven than anything else. And you stop and think about it and consider it the heavy sin that God says it is. And see how we tend to get involved with it, just like the church in Rome. 2 Corinthians. Talks about the same thing again. Get a little repetitious? Must be important. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish. Now this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth. And that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. So he's going to come in and straighten things out. He's going to find things that he doesn't want to see. And they're going to hear things they don't want to hear. Lest there be contentions, jealous outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. The next word, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumults. Right back to the same thing, aren't we? Did he not just tell the church in Rome the same thing? You're going to get involved with this, it's going to be death. Now he's telling the church in Corinth, you're not going to like what I hear or what I have to say, and I'm not going to like what I see. Because here's what I think is going to be seen. There's contentions, there's jealousies, there's backbitings, there's selfish ambitions, all these things that go along with the mind that God gives you a choice to have. Ephesians 4:29. Paul's instruction to the church in Ephesus. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. That's a command. There's no ifs, ands, or perhaps about it. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. If it's not going to do any good, why say it? If it's going to cause harm to someone, why say it? Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may what? Impart grace to the hearers. It's going to be good for who heard it. That's why Paul makes that statement. And he goes on in verse 30 and he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You think if we get into gossip and slander and lies and all the things we've been talking about, that that's not going to grieve the Holy Spirit? It will. And he says right here, don't do that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. James 1:26. He had to know I was going to get to James. James 1:26. This is a tough statement that James makes here. He says, if anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So, do we do things God's way or do we do things our way? If we're doing it our way and we're going to get involved in all these things, then that religion is useless. If anyone amongst you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Now, we've covered several things so far, and it's consistent throughout God's word about what we're talking about tonight. It's a serious matter. If it weren't, it wouldn't be repeated over and over and over and over throughout the Testaments, old and new. So it's been a problem since Adam and Eve. It's a problem in first century church. It's a problem today. We're going to stay in James. James 4, 11 and 12. James says here, it says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, take note here, not just speaking about him, but judging him, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Again, people, we need to be very careful about the words we choose and what we say. Put that mind in gear before you let the tongue rattle on. That's the easiest thing to remember. Think, take a second or two and think about what we're going to say. We'll finish this up in James 3. Through 10. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a man in filthy clothes. All right? One looking good and one looking bad. What are we going to do? And if you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place. And say to the poor man, stand over there or sit here at my footstool. Are we not judging? Are we not thinking that this one man's better than this other man? And they're both Christians? Are they not the same in God's eyes? Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? As humans, I think sometimes we tend to do that. We categorize people. I think more so today than we did maybe 30 or 40 years ago because of what's going on in the world and because of the problems in the world. We look at someone, we have an automatic opinion about what's going on. May or may not be true, but we're judging that person. And when it comes to the church and it comes to Christians, James saying, be very careful about what we're doing here. He goes on in verse 5, he says, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? God doesn't care whether we don't have any money or not. He's the one that provides everything. He knows what's going on. He's the one taking care of us. But you have dishonored the poor man, James goes on to say. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? So it's not all glorious being rich. That rich man sometimes does whatever he has to do to be rich. Do they not blaspheme that the noble name by which you are called? If you are really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But, you think Paul was writing this, but if you know partiality, what does James say here in verse 8 and verse 9? He said, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. And verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's a lesson tonight that I don't normally bring. I don't like to be this definite about something, but it's something that we need to talk about. It's something we need to understand. Gossip is sin. Slander is sin. Whisperings about something or someone is sin. We have to be mighty, mighty careful. Damaging words, lies, anger, abuse, yelling, intimidation, name calling, making fun of someone. We do that a lot. I say we because I get involved in that. Well, that, you know, show of power, bullying, show of pride, backbiting, etc., and gossip. We just need to be careful, people. The scripture is very plain about the judgment of those that get involved in this kind of stuff. The lesson is yours. The invitation is yours. If there's anyone here tonight that needs to put their Lord on in baptism, needs to become obedient, the water's ready, and we'd be more than happy to put you into the faith and to baptize you. It's also the time that if we have problems in our life that we're not able to conquer ourselves, and we need the help of prayers, and we need the help of the congregation, we need the help of our Christian family. Those times come about, but we don't know if we aren't told in order to pray for someone. So if you have a need of any kind, let's stand, let it be made known as Daryl leads us in the invitation.